German from those who have picked up a smattering of the language is coarse. A woman is a woman. Somehow, Helena and Rosinka escape being raped. However, they must silently listen to the screams of those women being violated, and then the heart-wrenching silence when the act is completed. The Russian soldiers are not satisfied with mere sexual conquest. They're animals biting away chunks of women's breasts and cheeks and savagely mauling their genitals. Many strangle their victims after the act, silencing them forever. Perhaps they prefer murder to the personal shame of their victims glaring at them in hatred. "I didn't want to see because I couldn't help them," Helena remembers later. "I was afraid they would rape my sister and me. No matter where we hid, they found our hiding places and raped some of my girlfriends." Russian soldiers raped millions of women during the course of the war. A large proportion of these women will contract venereal disease from their attackers. Some of them will commit suicide afterward. Others will become pregnant but refuse to carry a rapist baby to term and will find a way to abort the fetus. Many of those who give birth to these children of rape, Russian babies, as they will be known, will abandon them. For some women, such as those in the barn, the liberation of Auschwitz was not the end of their suffering, but the beginning of a new kind of suffering. "They did horrible things to them," Helena will later recount decades later, from her new home in the Jewish nation of Israel. The image of kicking, biting, and clawing at a young Soviet officer to prevent herself from becoming a rape victim still clear in Helena's head. "Right up to the last minute, we couldn't believe that we were still meant to survive." Many Auschwitz survivors find there is no shelter, even when they make it back to their hometowns. All throughout Eastern Europe, Joseph Stalin and the Russian military machine have taken advantage of the mass Nazi deportation of Jews to steal homes and farms and give them to the Russian people. This is just the start of a massive forced migration that will see millions of non-Soviets in Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and Poland forced out of their homes. They will be left to resettle in the ruins of the Nazi occupation, in lands that will be without industry, farming, or infrastructure. Like Helena and Rosinka Sitanova, Linda Labusha is a Slovak who has survived Auschwitz. As she walks the streets of her beloved hometown of Stropkov, from where she was arrested and led away in March 1942, she believes the nightmare of the camps may finally be behind her. But Linda doesn't recognize anyone during her stroll down the main street. It's as if everyone she ever knew has vanished. When she knocks at the door of the house in which she grew up, it is answered by someone she has never seen before, a heavy-set man with a red Russian face. Over his shoulder, she can see the same familiar rooms, the hallways, where she once played as a child, and where this foreigner now makes his home. The Russian takes no pity on the death camp survivor. "Go back where you came from," he says, slamming the door in her face. Chapter 16, Trier, Germany, March 13th, 1945, morning.